Praise God. Well, we're going to, last week, we talked about doing all things without complaining. We're going to go on that a little bit more tonight. That's something specific on my heart regarding that. But let's look at Philippians 2, verse 14. Philippians 2, 14. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. The beginning of that says, do all things without complaining and disputing. In the NIV, it says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. In the Living Bible, it says, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing. In everything you do, stay away from that. So if God says to stay away from something, then we want to stay away from it. It's not a suggestion. And we spent some time talking about that last week. I mean, it's more serious than I think most people understand. It's not a light thing to grumble, to complain. The NIV says grumbling, and if you look at the footnote in the New King James, it has complaining, but it also has the rendering grumbling. And so that complaining, grumbling, if you look that up just in the English dictionary, we went over this last time, but I'm going to read this again. A grumbling is a mutter of discontent or a complaint. And I mentioned this last week, it's a mutter. These mean kind of bring out specifically muttering, like muttering means to kind of do it under your breath. But either way, it's making known a discontent, complaining. If you're talking about something like a grumbling person, it's expressing discontent, especially by muttering. And we read some synonyms and near synonyms: complaining, fussing, griping, protesting, squawking, whining. These are all have to do with grumbling, whining, complaining type of things, making known that we're not happy with something. Antonyms, so opposites. Sometimes looking at the opposites helps us to more solidly understand what's being talked about or what. When you know what it isn't, then you know what you want to be. If it's a bad thing and you know what is not that, then you know you want to do the opposite. Abiding, enduring, forbearing, patient, tolerant, accepting, forgiving, long-suffering, uncomplaining. So, grumbling, complaining is not a good thing. God said not to do those things, so we want to be these other things. So we want to be abiding. We want to be enduring. So if you can endure something, you're not like, oh, I just can't take it. I'm going to complain. Forbearing, patient, tolerant, accepting, forgiving, long-suffering, uncomplaining. These are all things that we would want to be. Let's read briefly Psalm 106, verse 24. We read this. Not going to go into everything we went into last week, but it just talks about the Israelites, and God was not pleased with how they behaved in this regard. Verse 24 says, then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe the word, but complained in their tents. They did not heed the voice of the Lord. Therefore, he raised his hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. Go back to verse 24. It says, then they despised the pleasant land. So God had promised them a land, and they didn't believe God, and then they complained. They complained all the time. They complained, you know, they didn't have food, and then they had food. They didn't have meat, and they had meat. They didn't have water. They just complained. But notice they didn't believe God. They didn't trust God, so they complained. If they would have been trusting God, something, they would have had a different outcome. So that's not the example we want to follow. The Bible says these things are given for our examples. Well, sometimes it's a bad example. Sometimes it's what not to do. 1 Peter 4, verse 8, we read this last week. It says, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And then we read this, 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. So that's what we're supposed to be doing instead of grumbling, complaining. We're supposed to be giving thanks. We're supposed to have our mind in a different place. It says, this is the will of God for Christ Jesus in you. His will is for us to be thankful and being grateful, not to be complaining. So some people are always say, well, what's the will of God for me? I just don't know. Well, this is one part of it. We know this is the will of God. So you know the will of God. When he says not to do something, you know that's not the will of God. Here he's actually, the Bible's actually saying, this is the will of God that you would be thankful. And so it is never the will of God that we are complaining. It's never the will of God that we're grumbling. Never, never. We talked about it last week. From now on, our attitude should be, from now on, I'm not going to grumble, I'm not going to complain. It doesn't matter if we just got doing it a minute ago. We ought to pick ourselves back up and say, that was wrong from now on. And it might be a little bit of course correction because, you know, if you're used to going over here, it might take a little bit of time. You know, you want to go this way. You try to go this way, but you find yourself going this way. Don't go, oh, well, there's no way. Decide, I'm going to do what God tells me to do. So if I have to just, if it looks like I'm doing that, it's okay. I'm complaining, but no, I'm not going to. Oh, but I just complained. No, I'm not going to do it anymore. No, I'm going to. No. Just keep doing that. Well, God will help you. God will help us to do his word always. Always. Colossians 4, 6 says, let your speech always be with grace. Always. What does the word always mean? Always. It means in every circumstances, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. So that our speech is supposed to be a certain way all the time. There's never a time where we get a time out to say, well, now's a good time to complain. And like we said last week, this is not a condemnation thing. This isn't like, because everyone in here has complained, every single person. We've all complained at some point. This is not to say, oh yeah, that's another thing I shouldn't be doing, darn, I'll do that. No, it's to show us the way of life. To show us what God would have us to do. And not just so we can, well, have a checklist. It's so that we have the life that God wants us to have. So we decide, God, I'm by your help, with your help, by your grace, I'm going to do what you asked me to do. I'm going to do it. I don't care if I've had a whole life of going over here. I don't care if I'm dealing with some circumstances. The complaining, grumbling is not going to help it. It will not help it. It's actually going to hurt it. It's going to make it look worse. You know what I mean? If you have something happen in your life, whether it's big or small, it could be something really small. And if you start complaining about it and dwelling on it, pretty soon it's a big thing. You know, if something you're dealing with your spouse or dealing with your siblings or dealing with your kids, and they do something small, you could, and I'm not saying you just put up with stuff all the time, just say something, they're human, you could have let it go, you didn't have to say anything, it's not a big deal. But you start bringing it up, and you say, we have about this, and if you said it once, they could let it go, but you say something again, pretty soon, that's your day. You blew it up. That's what you guys are. It's not going well because you decided to make a little thing. You complained about it. You grumbled about it. You brought it up. And now this little thing became big. It didn't help it because that was already passed, whatever they did. And I'm not saying you don't address issues, okay? But there's just things that, yeah, we're all human and we have quirks or whatever. Somebody says something. You didn't have to say anything, but you decided you were going to. And now this little thing became a big thing. Well, if there's something going on in our life that is a pressure, complaining about it is going to make it worse. Bringing it to God and deciding you're going to believe what he says, which partly is what we're talking about here. So I'm getting pressured. There's something going on, but I'm going to decide. I'm going to trust God anyway. Lord, you said not to complain about it. You said to give thanks, not for the thing, but because you're God and you're going to help me. That is going to open that's going to illuminate our eyes. It's going to help us to see. But when we decide we're going to go this other way, we're yielding to darkness. We're yielding to negativity. We're actually giving access to the devil to bring even more thoughts. We're not acting in faith, so it's going to be dark. So it's not a matter of, oh, I didn't grumble today. I get a gold star. And then I didn't, so, or I did grumble, so now I get beat up. No, it is a matter of walking in life. So when we go over things in the Word, we are looking to what God says because He wants to help us. Now let's look at Matthew 12:33. I had something quickened to me specifically regarding this, this area, but this... these specific verses. Matthew 12:33, it says, this is Jesus speaking, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. Now he's talking to the religious leaders and he does not pull any punches. Jesus was harder on the religious leaders than anyone because they're hypocrites, because they were always condemning other people, but they themselves weren't doing right. And they would condemn somebody for something small, but then they themselves are doing something way worse. So Jesus did not pull any punches with them. He was the hardest on them. Verse 34, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good measure or good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You could say a lot about that latter part, and that's a sobering thought. He said, every idle word, you're going to have to give account. That's a sobering thought. We're not going to focus on that tonight, but you know, there's just one aspect. If you declare the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, that's going to acquit you. That makes you born again. You know, but that's a sobering thought about what we say. It shouldn't just be idle. But I want to focus back on verse 34, the latter part of that verse. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So we're talking about, about grumbling and complaining. And we mentioned this a little bit, but I want to focus on this part. If it's pressing on us, we find ourselves complaining, grumbling, and it's just so easy to do. Instead of focusing on trying to stop it from coming out, we ought to. But we ought to look back upstream because something else is going on. What is in our heart is coming out. And if we're just saying, well, I'm just not going to say it, the better question is, why am I saying it? Because, and again, and not in a condemning way, it's a question to go, why is that there? Why is it so easy? Because, you know, if you're full of negativity, it's going to come out. If you're full of joy, think about a child and their birthday is coming up or something they're very excited about. It is going to come out. They're like this. They're like, it's my birthday. That's what's in them. It's going to come out. They don't know. I ought to be more dignified. What's going on? Well, it's my birthday. When is it? It's tomorrow. No. You see a little kid, it's all over their face. They're telling you, they're going to rush to tell you, guess what? Right? Yes. What's in them? Birthday. I'm happy about it. They're not sad about it. So that's just natural. They don't have to work that up. Right? They're not making it up. That is what's in them, and you see it coming out. That's it. So if we're saying well, this stuff is coming out, and we're like, don't say that, don't say that, don't say it. The better question is why? That's just showing what's already in there. Because if it wasn't in there, it wouldn't be coming out. Now, anybody can say the wrong thing, sure. But it doesn't matter. If you are so full of just, you're at peace, restful, full of joy, there's just not complaining, grumbling coming out. Because you don't have it, you're happy. What's like, what to complain about? Even if I thought about complaining, but look at this. You know, you're eating your favorite food that you haven't eaten, you know, somewhere that you don't usually go, and eating, it's just good. Most people, that's not the time you're nitpicking. You're just, this is good. I'm just focusing on, wow, I you know what? There might be other stuff, but right now I'm focusing on whatever. You know, I'm getting to eat this that I don't normally eat. If you complained, that would be that is so, think about it. You're getting to have a meal that you hardly ever get to have, and that would normally be great. If you're complaining in that moment, something has got you so filled up that in front of you is not enough. The other is just coming out, right? It's just overshadowing. What? Because that's what we're full of at that point. Again, this is not to condemn us. This is to look at us and go, why? All of us. If this is coming out, I should back up and go, what's there? All right? So look at, we'll put this up in a few versions. We read the New King James. It says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In the Amplified, it says, for the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. In the CSB, it says, for the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. The mouth speaks from the overflow. So when you're speaking, it's actually bubbling over. That what's coming out of your mouth is the overflow of what's in the heart. You cannot get away from this. I can't get away from it. What's coming out of our mouth is spilling over from what's in our heart. In the NIV, it says, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. All right, I'm going to tell on myself, not in a bad way, but when I was dating Shelly, it was long distance. I met her. She was in Oklahoma. I was in Lincoln, Nebraska. She came up to do a music workshop. I met her, started talking to her. Well, originally, you know, sent her a thank you note. Then she sent me a note back, had her phone number. This is 1998, okay? I did not have, the cell phone's around, but I did not have a cell phone. I had a home phone with a answering machine that had a tape in it. How many people know what I'm talking about? It had a little mini cassette. And so, and it, you know, I had a recording of my voice. Hey, this is Jim, not home, right? I leave a message. And it literally was on an analog tape. And you come back in, the little light's flashing. Push the button, and it... Yeah, I couldn't get it at work. I mean, I couldn't get on my cell phone. I didn't have visual voicemail. I couldn't... Anyway, so I had sent her a note. I sent her a letter. She sent me a note back with her phone number. I called her then several days later. Night, we talked for 2 hours the first time. Started talking to her, and I remember one day, one of those days, I came home and I had a light flash, and it was Shelly's voice. Hey, Shelly, or Jim, this is Michelle. Her real name's Michelle. She goes by Shelly, but at that point, she was calling herself Michelle. You know, we didn't know each other. So this is Michelle, you know, blah, blah. And I call her back. Anyway, you know, eventually I'm going to a church and, you know, and of course I'm starting to talk about Shelly. I called her Shelly. They were like, what, that Michelle lady? You know, because I knew her. And everybody, I'm certain the older people are like, oh, okay, Jim's smitten. Why? Because I'm talking about her probably when there's no reason to talk about her. right? I'm inserting her into conversations, right? Why? Because my heart's full. What's in my heart, my mind? Shelly. I have this girl that I know that's in Oklahoma named Shelly. And if you ask me, you're going to get probably more than you want to know about Shelly. Why? My heart's full. And it's easy. You didn't have to go, come on, Jim. Nobody had to really ask me a bunch. It came out. Right. Why? Because it's in there. It came out my mouth because it was in my heart, because I'm full of something. I wasn't complaining. There's probably a lot of things that were still the same way, but I wasn't complaining. Why? Because the sky's blue or the sun is shining. Why? Because I met Shelly. The NLT says, for whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you're saying is coming from that overflow. Let's look at James 3. James 3. It says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Everybody thinks they want to be a teacher. Everybody wants to get in front of people. Listen to what James said. James will just knock you down. It's just like, well, you think that's good here. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or a mature man, also able to bridle the whole body. Let's skip down to verse 8. There's a lot in there, but just want to focus on what we're talking about tonight. Verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. Now, with the power of God and with God's help, you can. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brother, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So we don't have to go back there, but the verse we read initially in Matthew, Jesus was saying, talking about fruit. He was saying either make a tree good and a fruit good, or else make a tree bad and its fruit bad. Here, James is saying, verse 12, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. What's he saying? You don't get salt water out of in where they're supposed to be fresh. You don't get fresh out of salt. You don't get figs. What did he say? He said, does a fig tree bear olives? You don't get olives from a fig tree. And he said, does a grapevine bear figs? You don't get figs from a grapevine. In other words, you get the right thing from the right source. So you don't get negativity from a heart that's full of joy. You don't get negativity from a heart that's peaceful and loving God and full of love and peace. Doesn't mean, now we're not talking about the recreated human spirit. Everything dwells in there. But we're talking about our inner being, what we've been put in there. You understand, we can have capacity to do certain things, but if we're feeding on the wrong things, that's what's going to come out. Not talking about who you are in Christ. That's what we ought to be yielding to. But how are we going to know? If we're not feeding on the wrong things, that's going to lie dormant in there, even though it's true. So we need to make sure that we're doing the right behaviors, the right actions, in order for us to be full of the right things. Then downstream, it's not as big a deal. Look at Psalm 37:30. It says, the mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Verse 31, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The law of his God, you could say the word of it, of God, is in his heart. The statutes of God, the truth of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. Well, none of his steps sliding would include doing what God told you not to do, which would include grumbling and complaining. If your heart is full of the word of God, the truth of God, then the right things are going to happen. The right decisions are going to be made. Look at Psalm 119, verse 9. The whole Psalm 119, that's the longest psalm. It's, if you're trying to read a psalm in a short period of time, this one will blow that routine up because it's really long, but it's talking about the Word of God. Verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? How could a person cleanse his way? How could a person walk in the right place? Okay, in the context we're talking, how would we get to where we're rid of complaining and grumbling, cleanse the way from in that area? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Well, whatever we do that's against God's word would be sin. But if you've hidden the word of God in your heart, then you won't. Verse 12, blessed are you, my Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Then I won't, earlier said, I've hidden your word in my heart, so I won't sin against you. He said, I will meditate on your precepts. I will contemplate your ways. You know what happens? When we listen to the word, when we read the word, we're filling ourselves with his word. And that's what's going to come out. This is the way. If we'll back up, instead of focusing on why is this stuff coming out? Why am I full of negativity? Why is that? Instead of going, don't complain. Don't do that. Stop. You tell somebody to stop when they're doing that, that's just going to make it worse. You tell yourself to stop. I'm not saying we control ourselves, but if we'll back up and start filling up with the right things, it will automatically, not that you won't have to exercise self-discipline. You may be tempted, but the temptation is going to be much less when we're filling ourselves with the Word of God and with His truth and just meditating on it. What is meditating? That word, if you look in the footnote of maybe your Bible has, I know it's in the New King James, it'll say that it means to mutter, to meditate, to go over by muttering. That's a good muttering. This is a good mutter. Like grumbling is muttering, like negative. Meditating in the Word of God, when you see it here, and we'll look at another place, it's meaning to go over the Word. And part of the way you're doing it, you're not just thinking about it. Meditation has all kinds of connotations, you know, in our day and age, weird stuff. But meditation is biblical, and what it has to do with is going over the truth of God's word, and often by muttering under your breath, like, you know, God will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Lord, I just thank you that you are working on my behalf, that you're helping me, that you're bringing in what needs to be brought in. Lord, thank you that by Jesus' stripes I am healed. You have already paid the price for my healing and my wholeness. And you go over, you know, if you need healing in your body, you're going over healing scriptures, muttering. If you need peace, you're not just picking random verses. You're going over peace scriptures, and you're talking about how the Lord is our peace, that the peace of God surrounds me as with the shield. Or no, that's a favor of God. The peace of God, I have to think of a peace scripture. Now I'm in my head. So anyway, move on. Try to think of another one, Isaiah 26:3. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. That's the type of stuff you go over. You're saying, no, the peace of God. The peace of God. You're going over things that that have to do with his truth in a given area. Meditating on it. Meditating on it. What are you doing? You're filling your heart. What are you doing? You're overflowing with the truth of God's word. That makes it so that things will not, other things are being displaced. You know, we read that out of the abundance of the heart, or the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, you know, if you have a cup, let's say you had a cup that had a little bit of orange juice in it, you had finished it, and now it's got, you know, this little bit at the bottom that you can't get out because, you know, it just slides along when you're trying to drink it, and then that part doesn't all get out, so it goes back to it. So it's got a little bit. You get that out, you can run water into it, and that will come out. And when the water fills up the cup, it'll overflow, and that water will displace whatever was in there before. If you had, let's say you had just left it out, it's warm, you don't want to drink it anymore, but you have like that much of milk, orange juice, or something, you start filling that up, it's going to displace what has been in there, and pretty soon all you're just going to have is water. So if we have something else that's in our heart, if we'll just put the word in, if we'll meditate on the word, if we'll just read the word, go over it, we're displacing what was there instead of that coming out. Now, hold on here. If we are doing the opposite, if we're constantly listening to negative stuff, if we're constantly looking at people's opinions that are fearful, or they're agitating, or they're negative on people, they're constantly breaking people down or calling people names, and we're feeding on that, and then we're thinking about it, and our feed is full of that, you know, in a social media, and we're looking at, guess what's going to come out? That. Negative, complaining, everybody's bad, all this stuff is just going to come out. Why? Because we've been filling it out. And if we have a little bit of word, God's word in there, and we're constantly filling all this other stuff, it's going to displace God's word to where there's just all this negativity, and then it's easy for it to come out. But what if we were even overflowing? What if you had a glass that was overflowing with orange juice? I'm not against orange juice. I'm just whatever. You had it, and it stayed out, but let's just say for the sake, it was filled to the brim, but you forgot, you left it, it's all warm, you don't want to use it. It's full. If you put that under the sink, as full as it is, and turn on the water, and let it just go in there, eventually, it's just going to keep coming out to where eventually you're just going to have water. You displaced what was in there with something else. And it doesn't matter how full of bitterness, it doesn't matter how full of complaining, it doesn't matter how full of negativity what we've been putting in is, if we'll start putting the Word of God in, if we'll start meditating on it, listening to it, thinking about it, muttering under our breath about it, it will eventually displace all that to where what's coming out is God's Word. And it'll just happen automatically. You don't have to, if you're filling a cup with something else, you don't have to do anything other than just put it under there. Now, if you put it on the sink or put it on the counter and don't do anything, it won't displace itself. But if all we have to do is put it under that spigot, let it happen, and it will automatically displace. If we'll just put ourselves under the Word of God, just put it in front of us. You don't say, I don't feel like reading the word. Start putting it in. Just read it. Just pick it up anywhere. Psalms, Proverbs, anywhere in the New Testament, anywhere in the Old Testament. Just read it. The word of God's going into us, and it's displacing. And you think, well, I'm really over here. Well, this is all I can take. I read 5 minutes. What? Now I'm going to go fill up with negativity again. Pretty soon, whatever we put in, it's going to be displaced with that. So sometimes we just need to meditate. Just think about it. Just put in the word, put in the word, put in the word, put in the word, put in the word. It'll get easier for us not to go back to the other stuff and not then for it to come out of our mouth. Look at Joshua 1 verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. Look at that word. It just means to mutter, to think on by muttering under your breath. In it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written. And not necessarily under your breath, but saying it over. That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That applies to all kinds of things. But if we meditate, it applies in this area. If we meditate, go back to the beginning, if you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, then you will have good success. What if I feel like I'm a negative person. I'm just grumbling. I'm complaining. I just can't help it. If we'll apply this verse here, meditate on God's word day and night, say it. It says, then, let's read it. You shall meditate in it day and night. Let's go back to the beginning. This book of the law, or we could say the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, won't depart from our eyes. We'll be putting it in, you shall meditate in it day and night. So now we're putting something in. We've identified a problem. This negative stuff's coming out. And I've realized I can't just look at how to stop it coming out. I've backed up and said, I'm going to do something different. Now I'm putting the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. So now I can actually start changing my behavior. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then I'll actually start changing my mouth. Then you will have good success. Then I start changing from complaining, from grumbling, to saying what God says. Why? Because I backed up and I started meditating, putting his word in and meditating on that day and night, day and night. Then it allows me to do something different. It will happen. That's what the word of God says. It will change as I put in the right thing. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Everybody say richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Then it says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. How is it going to dwell in me richly? It's because I'm putting it in richly. Well, now I'm going to actually change what's coming out then. Ephesians 5:18, you skip down there, 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. What do you say? Things that are godly. Verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So things, we're putting in the truth, it's dwelling in us richly, coming out are psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, good things, and it's just now it's a feedback loop. Now I've put in the right thing, I'm speaking the right thing, I'm hearing the right thing, so then it's putting it in the right thing, so it's coming out the right thing. Now instead of this negative feedback loop where I had all this negative coming out, that it's putting in, then it's coming out, that makes me even more depressed and it's just negative, and then I hear myself doing that and I know I shouldn't be doing it, so now I'm worse and now I just get more negative, I just feedback down, negative feedback loop. Instead of that, see, I can break it. At any time, I can break it. I got to stop putting in the wrong thing, start putting in God's word, and if I just need a healthy dose of it and just hammer it, and I keep putting that in to where that's displacing. Now I'm filling, still don't feel like saying anything, filling, still don't feel like it, filling to where now it's starting to overflow coming out of my mouth. Now I'm hearing it. Now when I hear it, it goes back in and I'm reinforcing. And now I got this other loop coming on so that it's just as hard for me to go negative as it was for me to go positive. Because I'm just filling. with the Word of God, meditating on truth, that's what I'm about. That's what I look at. That's what I say. That's what I think on. So then I go down the path, and what comes out? Something happens. What comes out? Not what I used to say. What comes out? What God says. I'm thankful. Well, yep, that happened, but God's bigger than this. We'll see. He'll change this. I'm going to trust Him, where it used to be, oh, what, another thing? You got to be kidding me. This is the fourth thing today, and all of a sudden we've been putting in the Word of God. Yep, that's happened. I'm not denying that, but I know a God, and I've been serving Him, and I've been thanking Him, and God will make a way. He'll make a way. He'll help me, and now I'm in a completely different place. Amen.